Welcome to the midday for a Wednesday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we'll have that quiz question in about 25 minutes or so. I'm sure we'll have a nice prize to give away, too, although I haven't seen that yet. If you ever read the Wisconsin State Journal, if you read it this morning, you might have noticed Doug Moe's column all about oboist Mark Fink, who is retiring from the UW-Madison after how many years, Mark?
40.
Well, I guess the time had come, hadn't it? 40 years. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you very much.
We emphasize that you're just retiring from the UW. You're not retiring from your position as principal oboe of the Madison Symphony.
That's correct. I'll still play in the orchestra.
Any other ensembles?
Not at this point.
Really? Okay, just whatever happens to come along. Now, as the oboist for a symphony orchestra, you always have this role, right, of giving the A? Is that
That's right, yeah. The whole orchestra depends on me to provide the right pitch, or else we get off to a really bad start.
I don't suppose you've ever had any bad starts.
Well, I'm sure that I have, but I've given a lot of A's over the years. I'm sure it's in the thousands.
And you've taken a lot of bows, too, I mean, because the oboe is one of those instruments that's often has a cameo in an orchestral work. In fact, I think just this past weekend, right?
That's right. We opened the program with Handel's Oratorio Solomon, which features two oboes in the overture to the arrival of the Queen of Sheba.
Yes. Sure, and that has some oboe licks in there.
That does indeed.
You took a bow for those. What are the really, really hot oboe parts for somebody who plays the instrument as much as you do?
There are many, many, many. I guess near the top of the list is Ravel's Le Tombeau de Couperin, which is an incredibly beautiful suite that was originally conceived for piano and later orchestrated, and is a major oboe work within the orchestra. You think of the Brahms symphonies, and you think of the Eroica symphony, and you can't think of that symphony without hearing that plaintive oboe solo in the slow movement. Tchaikovsky's Fourth Symphony. Rossini overtures, on and on. They feature the oboe often having to tongue very, very fast, such as La Scala di Seta.
You wonder sometimes if he didn't know the specific oboist and think, okay, let's put him through the paces today.
Could be.
Well, you've brought a couple of things here from your recording history. This one, actually, we've given away a bunch of these as quiz question prizes.
Oh, really?
Last year, courtesy of the School of Music. And it's music for oboe and strings with a big winter scape on it. And that would be certainly appropriate if you're anywhere from like Minneapolis West today, apparently. And you have, among other, actually, let's see, it's not all Mozart by any means, but there is prominently this one and only oboe quartet by Mozart. And he wrote that specifically for the oboe, not for the flute.
That's correct. No, he Mozart loved the oboe. I think more so than the flute.
He professed to not like the flute, but I suspect he was just impatient with having to write for it.
Possibly. He wrote, in fact, an oboe concerto that we thought was lost, but it turns out it was the piece that survived as the flute concerto in D major. But now we play it as the oboe concerto in C major. But this quartet was written specifically for Friedrich Rahm, a wonderful oboist of the day, a brilliant oboe player, and it's a piece that's really at the heart of our repertoire.
It comes from about roughly midway through Mozart's chronology of works, and performing with Mark Fink are, say, David Perry and Sally Chisholm. Am I leaving anyone out?
Yes, you are. Perry Carp. Let's not forget Perry.
He was lost in a snowdrift on the back of the CD. And this is the finale of that oboe quartet in F by Mozart. Third and final movement of the Oboe Quartet in F by Mozart from 1781, and performing with oboist Mark Fink were David Perry, Sally Chisholm, and Perry Karp of Priority Quartet fame, and that's from a CD called Music for Oboe and Strings, kind of modestly titled for such great playing. And the cover art is by the very same Mark Fink, oboe, who is with me today. We're celebrating, I guess that's the word to use, your retirement from the UW-Madison, but not from the Madison Symphony and a lot of other things as well. As far as wind instruments, there really isn't any particular advantage to playing an older one versus a newer one, like it would be with a stringed instrument, right? I mean, you kind of the newest one is likely to be as good as one that was made 50 or 100 years ago.
Well, there's so many changes in design of wind instruments, so it's not so easy to go back and pick up an oboe that was played during Mozart's time and suddenly just play it, because there were a mere 5 or 6 keys. The fingerings were different. It was a very different animal, you might say, whereas a violin hasn't changed all that much over the years. So, so yes, it is different. Some say it, the renovations, all the extra keys, the fancy bells and whistles make the instrument easier, but more complicated as well.
And that piece that we just heard, you say, was actually written for a brand new oboe that was capable of
not hitting. Necessarily a new oboe, but Mozart was always the innovator. And so when he wrote this piece for his good friend, he said, well, I think the oboe should go higher than it normally does. So just by writing this piece, he extended the oboe range up to high F, which you hear is the last note of that piece. But that was very unusual for the oboe players of that day.
Now, I should mention that you have a concert Sunday afternoon at Mills Concert Hall in Madison, on the UW-Madison campus. That's Sunday the 14th, 2 o'clock at Mills, with an all-star cast of performers, and it's all free, too.
Exactly, yeah. I guess I call this my farewell recital, but I don't think it's my last recital. Farewell to the university. And I'm so privileged for all these years to have such incredible colleagues to work with, and students as well. And so we're showcasing, I subtitle this recital, These Are a Few of My Favorite Things. And so in addition to the Mozart Quartet that we just heard, we'll be playing some Bach and performing some Bach, featuring Paul Rowe and Mimi Fulmer singing 2 arias, as well as some terrific string players, Suzanne Bea and Alice Barch, Katrin Talbot, Perry Carr, organist Bruce Bankson.
Well, good. You're doing this all the top of your head. I'm looking at the program as you say this.
Right. And then the second half, we do this very funny piece, funny in a good sense, by Beethoven. Now, you think of this profound composer writing these incredibly moving pieces. But, you just don't think of him one afternoon sitting on and saying, I think I'll write this silly trio for 2 oboes and English horn, which he did.
And when he's writing variations sometimes, he'll do that. He'll take a song, something like, I'm a cabbage farmer's boy, even a Kolbauern boob, and write this serious introduction to it, and then boom, this little ditty kicks in.
That's right. And this piece was based on La Ci Darem Lamano from Don Giovanni of Mozart, and it's great. It's kind of a tour de force, and unusual in that Beethoven didn't write for the English horn, you know, the large, lower-pitched oboe, but he writes for it here. So it's fun, and I'm doing it with a former student, Andrea Gross Hickson, and who teaches at St. Norbert College in De Pere and plays with me in the Madison Symphony, and also plays principal in the Green Bay Symphony. And then a current graduate student, his name is Kostas Teliakos, who came from Athens, Greece, to study with me as a graduate student.
That's impressive.
Next year we'll be teaching oboe at the university as my replacement for next year. So that's the trio. And then following that, we do some works with piano with my dear friend and colleague Todd Welburn, including what I think is one of the great pieces for the instrument, the Poulenc Sonata for oboe and piano.
Which must be just about the last thing Poulenc wrote.
Yeah, very, very much at the end of his life, yeah.
And yet it is, it's kind of a landmark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oboe writing.
Yeah, it is. It challenges everything you can do on the instrument. And we surround that with some folk songs that have, by Bartok that have been arranged for oboe and piano, and concluding with this piece by Georgi Sviridov, Russian composer. Sviridov was considered one of the nationalist, great nationalist composers of the 20th century, and he wrote this orchestral suite called the Snowstorm Suite. And I worked a little bit with my good buddy Viktor Gorodinsky of the Russian...
He's been here.
Yes, I'm sure he has. UW-Russia, UW-Madison Russian Folk Orchestra. In fact, we recorded this together. And Viktor had some great ideas for things he would like to arrange for oboe and, among other things, his band that included the domras and the balalaikas of all sizes and shapes. So we did, on this recording that we made, we did include this romance. Now, on Sunday, we'll play it, I'll play it with just piano, but there's this version out for oboe and folk orchestra. And if you'll listen in the middle, you'll even hear the trumpet solo by John Ailey.
Here it is. This is from the Snowstorm Suite, the romance by Sviridov. Soulful, very Russian. The sound of Mark Fink playing the oboe with the, I want to make sure I get this right because there are various of these orchestras, the Russian...
UW-Madison Russian Folk Orchestra, Viktor Gorodinsky, conductor, John Ailey, trumpet.
Well, speaking of things Russian, there's this one piece that is, I suppose, what would you call it? Well, it's certainly a showstopper, but it's also everybody's tour de force.
That's
it's
right.
Probably been arranged for any major instrument you can think of, and certainly folk instruments too. So, Mark, what is it like to, as an oboist, to play Flight of the Bumblebee?
Well, when you start practicing scales, one of the things you practice is a chromatic scale, you know, up and down the full range of the instrument.
Right.
And this is the finally you get to play that chromatic scale when you play this piece.
Is this one of those pieces you're glad it's not longer from in terms of keeping your breath control?
I suppose
that?
That's true, yes.
Okay, here it is. It's a good workout. And this brings back then the UW-Madison Russian Folk Orchestra and with oboist Mark Fink, Flight of the Bumblebee. Well, you made it sound easy.
Well, thank you.
So what's the, other than this performance, this Mark Fink oboe celebratory retirement concert on Sunday at Bell's, 2 o'clock, free concert. Other than that, what's in the offing?
What's in the offing? Well, I still have, finish out the symphony season playing the opera, Madison Opera, Don Giovanni. I have a I'm going to be playing actually May 5th, a broadcast concert from Chazen, live from Chazen.
Oh, are you?
And some of these same pieces will be performed at that time as well. This summer, I head up to Alaska to do a festival that I enjoy doing every summer.
Yeah, you've been working with the Fairbanks Symphony for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I have a long association with them.
Do you ever go up in the winter?
I mean, I have.
After all, the season usually.
Yes, you know, I've experienced the winter in Alaska. Yes.
Do you have to have a special like heater mute for your oboe or anything?
No, but I was warned that when I went to bed at night, I should keep it under the covers.
I can see there'd be all kinds of complications up there. Well, have a great time with that. I know the connection you made was with up there was with Gordon Wright.
Gordon Wright, dear friend.
Of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra.
Founder of the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra.
And went up to Alaska to work there and lived sort of aloof in the wilderness and then would go in to conduct. Interesting lifestyle.
Yes, that's right. Conducted Fairbanks Symphony, lived out in a cabin out in the woods without any electricity or running water. I spent a few winters up there.
Did you?
Staying with him in the cabin.
Well, that sounds like a good lifestyle for some people, but I suspect you're going to be a little bit more, congenial and gregarious than that. Well, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Norman. Thanks for having me on the air.
Look forward to those next performances by Mark Fink, stellar oboist who has chosen to retire after
40
years with the University of Wisconsin.